In college basketball, you never know what will happen, but one thing is for certain, that the more hoops you get, the better chance you have of winning. And Greg Peterson, the man whose nickname is Hoops, knows all about it. From the blue bloods to the afterthoughts, Greg breaks down every game, every team, every day. So now it is time for Hoopin' with Hoops.
Hey, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Hoopin' with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports, which is the app that's going to be changing the way that you look at sports betting on November 1st. Think about it as a hybrid between Instagram and Twitter, only without the things that you hate about both of those sites, like things that don't pertain to sports betting, the random arguments that people get in over like things to eat for lunch, the random memes that you don't care about, everything like that. They cut all that out and they replace that with being able to get live scoring updates and live line moves on the bets that you've got, being able to post up your record, and just having a good community in general of people that are dedicated to betting. You're able to follow all that they do at Bookit HQ, and you're able to follow the guest that's going to be joining me in the second segment at Second Chance Points, as we're going to have our good buddy Jim Root of the Three Man Weave joining me. We're going to be having a great chat with him. Obviously, we've got a pair of interesting coaching situations as Pat Chambers with Penn State wound up stepping down a few days ago at that program, and you've obviously got the saga that's going on with Wichita State, so we're going to be asking him about both of those. We're also going to be talking to him about some of the news that we saw on Friday with multi-team events having a little bit of a structure change. You're now able to have multiple teams from the same conference in the same multi-team event, and now teams are able to take part in two multi-team events. There's just a whole lot of hoopla there, and then something else I've been talking about on this podcast is how to handicap some of these games and some of these series, I should say, in which you've got two games that are played on the same floor in different days between the same teams, sort of like an NBA bubble feel. So we're going to be talking to Jim about all that. And in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we've seen from college basketball over the last 24 hours. And I do love to be able to answer your Twitter questions on this podcast, because as we know, the season is now 32 days away, but who in the heck is counting? And I know that it's going to be a season unlike any other. So anything that you'd like me to address on this podcast with regards to a season that's probably going to be a little bit more strange, if there's just something in general when it comes to sports betting, college basketball in general, what have you, that you have on your mind, feel free to fire that in one of two ways for me to answer it. My Twitter timeline, at JarenScordy1. Keep in mind with that, the letters DM to me does not matter. And you can also send this in via an Apple Podcast review. If you go to Apple Podcasts, rate this podcast 5 stars. For one, you really help out the exposure of this podcast. Those that are foolishly unaware of Hooping with Hoops, they're seeing, oh, there's a bunch of people that must love Greg Peterson and his college basketball work. I should subscribe to this podcast as well. So we build a little bit more of a following there. And from there, you're also able to send in your question, comment, beef, segment ideas, what have you. So I always do appreciate that. And I do appreciate the fact that my good friends at MyBookie are trying to help you out for this upcoming college basketball season as well. As you guys know, I do a baseball betting podcast as well. The World Series is going on, so you're able to wager on that. Football is back in full swing, and college basketball starts November 25th. And MyBookie wants to be able to maximize your profits by giving you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit with them by using the promo code OVERTIME, as we are a part of the Overtime Network of podcasts, and that is all one word on Overtime, OVERTIME. All you need to do is make a deposit. Up to $1,000 is going to be matched dollar for dollar on that deposit when you use this promo code, and you're able to wager on a variety of different things. They've got an extensive menu of things like player props, in-game wagers. When it comes to pretty much all these sports, obviously college basketball, not going to have quite the same amount of player props for a game like Abilene Christian versus Stephen F. Austin versus an NFL game, but they certainly do a great job with that. I give you guys a side to total on every game every day, so you're able to fire in on all that and so much more. So a big thanks to them, and a big thanks to Jim Root of the Three Man Weave for stopping by. We're going to be chatting with them on a variety of different things when it comes to scheduling, these coaches that have found themselves in hot water, and so much more. And that's on the other side right here on Hoopa with Hoops, myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now powered by Bucket Sports.
Greg is going to the bench and bringing in a sharp shooter from the Overtime Network Hotline.
Back here in lovely Las Vegas for Hoopin' with Hoops, myself, Greg Hoops here, so now powered by our good buddies at Book It Sports. The app is going to be coming your way November 1st, and it is going to be absolutely amazing. Think about all the things that you love about things like gambling, Twitter. Think about an interface that you'd see for like Twitter, Instagram, sort of a hybrid of that. without hearing about, like, your mom posting up cat memes, all the drama of hashtag gambling Twitter, just a place to be able to track line moves, live scores, post up your picks, and just be a part of a good community. That's what they're able to provide. And what our next guest provides is absolutely tremendous college basketball content. That'd be one of our good buddies out there with the Three Man Weave, who you're able to follow that network at the number 3MW underscore CBB. It's a man that has joined this podcast quite a few times, Jim Root, a man that has ties to the Midwest like myself, now lives out here in Las Vegas. Now, I do know that he's not coming to me from Las Vegas, but Jim, always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Oh, happy to be here. Yeah, I'm out on the East Coast visiting my father before the college basketball season starts because, you know, you got to get that family time in before you just get completely submerged in the college hoops world.
Absolutely. And I should give out the Twitter handle for Jim Root at Second Chance Points, and it is the number 2 on second. So, and Jim, I know that you're out there on the East Coast, and a man that wasn't played out there on the East Coast, that would be Pat Chambers, but we saw a few days ago that he and Penn State, it's being described as a resignation slash a step down from Pat Chambers. You have to feel like it was mutual. And, well, it just puts Penn State in a rough spot. We've seen the allegations from Mr. Chambers towards Rasir Bolton. You certainly hope for the best for Rasir Bolton because that's just a bad situation that he was in. But you take a look at Penn State from a basketball standpoint, I just now have no expectations whatsoever for this program. They're out there in a Big Ten in which there are going to be so many good teams. You can argue that there's not really going to be that one team that's going to break away from the pack because you can make a case for Michigan State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, all being towards the top. But you certainly have a bunch of good teams. And with Penn State, I thought they were going to have a down year to start with losing their entire front court. Now this is just going to cause for it to be a really rough ride for them.
Yeah, 100%. You got Jim Ferry stepping in. I mean, at least he has head coaching experience. That's good. I wouldn't necessarily say his coaching experience has been successful. He was at Duquesne and did a fair amount of losing to the point that they had to fire him and bring in Keith Dambrot. So it's hard to say that that's anything other than a downgrade. You know, Chambers hadn't made the NCAA tournament until last year when they would have been in, but clearly had things moving in the right direction in terms of winning basketball games. But without him and, without those two guys up front, Lamar Stevens and Mike Watkins, they're probably going to take a step back on both ends of the court, offense and defense.
Yeah, no question. It certainly is a rough situation for Penn State. And just when I take a look at the Big Ten, I'm going to be very intrigued by this conference just because, like I mentioned, you've got a whole bunch of teams at the top. Now, I know that you guys over there at the Three Men, we did not put a single Big Ten team in your top 10 when you came out with that. But if I remember correctly, you had like four teams from like number 11 through 18. And I just feel like it's that sort of a conference. You don't necessarily have that one team that's going to be the runaway winner, but you've got a bunch of good teams that all contend. You've got a couple teams that if they peak just the right way, they might be able to contend for a Final Four, like in Illinois, like in Iowa. Wisconsin, I don't know if they quite have the talent, but they're certainly going to be pesky. I just think that this is a conference in general that's going to lend itself to some very interesting betting opportunities, to say the least, because I think that those tight lines might come to play more often than you might think.
Yeah, we have 9 Big Ten teams in our top 30 and, you know, none in the top 10. But I think that speaks more to, I don't know who will emerge. I'd be relatively surprised if by the end of the season there wasn't a top 10 team from the Big Ten if somebody didn't find their way up there. But right now, I just think that there's too much parity in the preseason looking at the rosters and that there's pretty solid coaches at the top with, you know, Tom Izzo and Brad Underwood are going to have great teams. I'm not so much a Fran McCaffrey guy, but there's enough parity in that league that I think it's acceptable to not quite have a top 10 team yet. But yeah, once you get into the league, situation is going to be huge. I mean, it doesn't seem like the Big Ten, they're not going to be one of the leagues that has fans in the stands, but if there's a travel spot or a key player is out for COVID, that it's little things like that that could swing some of those really even matchups that are going to be going throughout that season.
We are in lockstep on that, as I do have Jim Root of the Three Man. We've joined me right here on the podcast, and we saw this on Friday. I know that John Rossine was one of, if not the first person to report this. The D1 Basketball Committee voted in favor to have teams be allowed to partake in 2 multi-team events. And along with that, teams from the same conference can take part in the same multi-team event. Now, we are seeing with a lot of these multi-team events, they're like 4 8 teams. It's like a round robin if you have four teams or two games. There's a lot of ways that you're able to schedule around it. It's just more or less a way to get in games. It's not like your traditional Maui Invitational where you've got the bracket or Battle for Atlantis or anything like that. But I certainly do think that's very interesting that now you can have two teams in the same multi-team event. And it just makes me think back of that random game in China a couple years ago, which I think you had Colorado playing against Arizona State, where you had two teams from the same conference playing in a game that did not count towards their conference record. I think we might see a little bit of that, and if we do, it will be very strange.
Yeah, it's kind of like a desperation breeds innovation situation here, where scheduling is so up in the air that, you know what, we'll just go ahead and figure out two MTEs. I think that's probably really good for the smaller schools, because I think it helps with testing protocols. If they get to be in a big conference MTE and then they're playing by the big conference rules and they get a little bit of help from the host school with the testing costs, that's really a good rule to even out some of that competition. And then the conference thing probably, you know, helps with travel too. If you're really close by and it's convenient to just have two teams in the same league be in the same event, that's fair. And then even, you know, with the stuff happening at Mohegan Sun or down in Orlando, if the schedule is convenient where these conference teams would play a quote unquote non-conference game, that's fine. It's this 1 year, it's craziness, whatever we can do to get games. I praise the innovation. I praise the flexibility. I'm happy to see it.
I do think that it's going to be really intriguing as well. And I do think that it'll work out very well if in a lot of these multi-team events, you're just able to space out those two teams in the same conference, because I just don't think that there'd be anything worse than seeing, oh boy, here we go with North Carolina playing against Syracuse for the fifth time this year here in the ACC tournament. I think that that would just be a little bit strange, because we do know that some of those best battles that we've seen are sometimes when a team plays against each other like three times in a year. But I just think it would be so strange if we see these teams playing a multi-team event, play two conference games, play each other in a conference tournament, and then perhaps play each other in the NCAA tournament. That'd be like, wow, these teams have just seen a lot of each other.
Yeah, it's wild when you see a top league like that. You wouldn't really expect it. I know the MEAC is doing the two divisions where they play the same team four times. I think the Sun Belt is considering doing that same thing in conference play of like an East and a West, and the six teams in the West will play 20 games against the other five teams. But, you know, the ACC and the Big 12 and the Big 10, they have the budgets to avoid that and the testing protocol to avoid that. So if we can not have Iowa play Illinois five times in the season, then I think that's acceptable. We can get away with that.
And I think that would turn into a little bit of baseball as well when you got like the three-game series between the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers and said, it's this weekend's three-game set between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Illinois Fighting Illini. As we do have Jim Root joining me on the podcast. So we are going to have a little bit of that in some of these smaller conferences as well. Something that I think is going to be so interesting to handicap is we are seeing some of these smaller conferences, like the Big Sky, for example, where they're going to be playing on back-to-back days, if not like a Thursday / a Saturday, same location, same teams, and I think that that is going to cause for some very interesting handicap spots as well. It sort of reminds me of some of those postseason series that we saw in the NBA bubble where you pretty much had the same two teams doing battle in the same location and everything like that. There was no travel involved. I don't know how you're going to be looking at some of these conference games in which the same team is playing each other on the same floor, either back-to-back days or 2 out of 3 days, but I think it could be really intriguing, especially if you see like a clobbering in one game, how to handicap the next.
Right. Yeah. And like, you know, some people believe in a revenge angle or a motivation angle. Some do not. I think it factors in a little bit. You know, a guy we talked to a lot, Alan Boston, just thought it didn't matter whatsoever. So that's a case by case basis for people with their approach. I'd factor in a little. And yeah, if there's a clobbering, you got to think like sometimes when you're playing basketball, you feel like today's just a day. Nothing is going right. It's great to be able to just write it off. And sometimes it's better to even have that rematch right away because you're eager. You're like, all right, clearly nothing went well. It's a whole new day, a new slate. And I think that can sometimes bear out positive for the team that lost, because unless it's like a clear matchup situation, then if it's, you know, aberrational 3-point shooting, something that really isn't going to last, then yeah, you got to look at the team that got blown out to hopefully bounce back in that second game. And maybe you'll even get an inflated line if people overreact.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that this is going to be one of the most intriguing things ever to handicap when you got schools playing against each other in back-to-back days on the same floor. It's just something that we really haven't seen a lot of. The closest that you can find is the Ivy League, but obviously it's not the same location. It's not the same team. I don't know if it sticks around after this year, but I actually don't think that it's necessarily a terrible idea when you take a look at it from just a logistical and a cost-saving standpoint, just because with so many of these mid-majors, they are trying to reduce their costs in any way possible. And I think that there is in some strange way, a chance that this sticks around for more than just 1 year.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because, you know, financially, I think the schools aren't going to recover immediately. It's not going to be a snap of the finger thing. So cost-saving measures will definitely probably stick around. And if this one proves effective and really meaningful to their bottom line, then yeah, it makes sense to stick with it at least until everything has stabilized a little more. You know, the travel is safer and you feel financially comfortable to go to one school and then the next within a 2 or 3 day span. So I wouldn't be surprised if it stuck around either for some of these smaller leagues when they see how practical and how affordable it becomes.
I'm right there with you, as we do have Jim Root joining me on the podcast. And then obviously we wound up leading off this conversation talking about what is all going on with Penn State. But as we know, there might be another coach that might be ousted pretty soon. That'd be Greg Marshall over there at Wichita State. As we know, there were some allegations brought upon the program by both The Athletic along with Jeff Goodman. I know that Jeff Goodman spent 6+ months on his research with regards to everything that's gone on with the program the last couple of years. I know that there's allegations of Greg Marshall trying to choke someone, I believe an assistant. I know that there's hitting of players and apparently a battle for a parking spot as well, which that just makes me sit there like, are you kidding me? You make millions of dollars and you're mad that you have to walk the extra 15 steps. I'm sure that you're
fit. Do you know who I am, Greg? I can't believe he yelled that.
That is absolutely hilarious. You know what? Your Fitbit will thank you for walking those extra couple steps. But I mean, with that said, a little bit more serious than getting on a couple steps and trying to get to 10,000 for the day is just what is all being brought upon in general. And if you ask me, I think that this just puts a Wichita State program that prior to hearing about this, we would both agree was in a little bit of disarray to start with because you had all those transfers. Now it makes a little bit more sense as to why you perhaps had all these transfers. And I just have to question whether or not it's actually better or worse if Greg Marshall winds up coaching night number one, because if Greg Marshall is still the coach at the beginning of the year, yeah, you still have your terrific coach, but at the same time, you have all these allegations hanging over these players, over the program, and if you just wind up canning them right now, if you really think that that's the best move to make, then you wind up putting an interim head coach in a very sticky situation.
Yeah, I think it'd be really tough for an interim coach. I wouldn't be very high on the team just trying to deal with that. If he's still around, I could see there being some element of, all right, these are the guys that are in the bunker with us. Let's rally together. Let's circle the wagons and play together and play for coach. Because, you know, with all the transfers that did leave the program, the guys that are still there clearly chose to do that. They made that decision. They know what Greg Marshall is about, and they chose to carry on with him and continue to be Wichita State Shockers. And I think there could be some element of a boost for them if he's still there. I mean, you know, the public outcry will not be one to enjoy, but if those guys find a way to make that like their rallying cry, then hey, maybe there's a chance for Wichita State.
Yeah, it certainly is going to be very fascinating as to see what's all going to be going on with that. And Jim, is there anything else that you've really had your eye on? Because I know that we've seen a couple players over the last week or so opt out. We also saw a couple unfortunate injuries, including that with Richmond. I think that Nick Sherrod being out for the year is something of note. Is there anything else that you're really keeping your eye on as well? Because something else has been the notice of allegations brought on by Arizona, but when I take a look at something like that, I think that'll impact the 2021-22 season, whereas like the injuries, what have you, they're actually going to be impacting this season.
Yeah, the Sherrod one's a huge bummer just because it sounds like he's going to have to medically retire and his career is over. And yeah, that team was supposed to be all about those five seniors. One headline I did see prior to recording this that is maybe semi-relevant to you and me as Las Vegas residents, that the West Coast Conference is considering doing a conference bubble. So like the entirety of conference season in Las Vegas as a bubble, just as an option to, you know, maybe avoid some of the pitfalls of a team getting infected and the current 14-day stopping of activities that they have to do. So I'm curious what you think about that. I mean, I don't know that it will actually come to fruition, but someone from the Oregonian reported it, so it's at least out there. And any thoughts on that one, Greg? I think it's wild.
Well, for one, I'm sure that there won't be fans allowed in the stands, so I'll try to get a credential to be able to watch those games. I'll wear my mask, I'll socially distance, I'll do whatever I need to do, but I would certainly be aboard with that. And I think that we could wind up seeing, much like we saw with the NBA bubble, obviously, you're going to have one team that is just far and away better than all the other ones in Gonzaga. I mean, BYU's a solid program. We know that St. Mary's year in and year out, they're going to give you a good, honest effort and contend for the NCAA tournament. But I do think that that would be very intriguing. And you know what? I'd be here for it, because we were just talking about how these teams are going to be playing on the same floor in back-to-back days. This is going to be just sort of that on steroids. And instead of playing on one team's home floor, you're just playing all these games on a neutral site. And I honestly think it would be very exciting if it winds up giving us a guaranteed amount of games, if it winds up preventing people from being sick and getting this virus. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I mentioned it with the two MTEs, like, let's be flexible. Let's find ways to make this work. If we don't think that the teams will be able to avoid some sort of infection in a 2-week cancellation or postponement of games, then it makes all the sense in the world to look into this bubble, because we've seen them work with TBT and the NBA and WNBA. So I'm at least happy again that they're looking at this option, and maybe they don't go with it, but props to them for considering it.
I'm right there with you, and something that is worth more than just consideration, but deserves action, getting Jim Root on this podcast, because you and the other men over there at the three man weave, Kai McKeon and Matt Cox, do an absolutely terrific job. I referenced it a little bit earlier. You guys have your top 40 out for the upcoming college basketball season. You guys are doing conference previews, a little bit of everything. And you guys just do an absolutely stellar job with your podcast as well. So, Jim, let the good people at home know what you're all working on along with the network and how they're able to follow along on social media, your website, and other platforms.
That's right. Yep. It's Three Man Weave, college basketball podcast. Should be able to find it. Type in college basketball or Three Man Weave into whatever podcast app you listen to. You mentioned it at the top, at 3MW_CBB. And the website is 3-man-weave.com. A lot of written content there, all kinds of previews. We will have a write-up on all 300 and sounds like 349 teams if the Ivy doesn't play. But any team you want to learn about, maybe it's somebody your team is playing against, check it out. We'll have it up there. I think we have 18 of the 32 leagues live now. Let's get ready for the season.
The season is now 32 days away, but who in the heck is counting, actually? I'm counting, and I'm sure that Jim and the other men at the Three Man Weave are as well, and it's always great to get them aboard on this podcast. So big thanks to Jim Root for joining me right here on Hoopa with Hoops, now powered by Book It Sports, the app that's going to be coming your way November 1st. And coming up next on this podcast, I give you a little bit of a roundup as to the news and notes that we saw from college basketball on Friday. Las Vegas for Open with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and now in partnership with our good friends over there at Book It Sports. App is going to be launching next week on November 1st, and it's going to be absolutely magnificent. Think about it as exactly what you've always wanted from a social media site for your bets, like live line moves, live scores, what have you, without the things that you don't like, family members posting up random gifts and everything like that. So it is going to be great. You're able to follow all that they do at Book It HQ. And a big thanks to our good buddy with the three man weave, Jim Root, for joining me in the last segment. Always great to get him aboard, and always great to be able to look at all the news and notes of college basketball. So let's take a look at everything that we saw on Friday. The big piece of news is something that I talked about with our good buddy Jim, in that now teams are able to partake in two multi-team events, and you could have teams from the same conference in the same multi-team event. I will reiterate what I said with Jim. Hopefully we just see a case in which if you've got two teams from, say, like the Big Ten, the ACC, what have you, in a multi-team event, that it's like sort of a predetermined two or three matchup sort of ordeal, and you don't see these teams winding up facing off against each other. I just would not want to see a situation in which Wisconsin and Iowa play twice during the regular season. They play during a multi-team event. They then play in the Big Ten tournament, and then they wind up playing in the NCAA tournament for five different matchups in the same year. I just think that that would be a little bit much of my opinion, though obviously if Wisconsin and Iowa both wind up being top flight teams like many of us think that they will, that would be pretty nice, but at the same time, it is one of those things where it just would be starting to get a little bit like baseball, where you've got like the three-game set between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds. We do know that there are a couple more multi-team events that are being formed, and NC State is going to be hosting one from November 25th and the 27th, and that field will include Charleston Southern, Eastern Kentucky, and North Florida. So NC State continuing their tradition of playing absolutely nobody in the non-conference portion of the season. So good to see that, but it is a little bit better to see that we're going to be getting a couple opportunities for South Florida to have some big-time wins. They are going to be replacing Minnesota in the Hall of Fame tip-off challenge that is going to be taking place in Mohican Sun, and now the matchups are going to be South Florida playing against Rhode Island and Virginia Tech. You also have in that field, Temple is going to be playing against Rhode Island and Virginia Tech as well, so it is going to be a very solid event there. I also wound up talking to Jim a little bit more about this, but Arizona has received a notice of allegations from the NCAA. As you guys know, the two guys I really look to for college basketball news and notes, I'd be John Rothstein of CBS Sports, along with Jeff Goodman, who does a terrific job out there with Stadium. And according to both of these guys, no official details have been made public as to the notice of allegations. They really didn't post up anything with regards to anything that they know, so we are in a little bit of a holding pattern there. Though I will say, I did my Prag 12 preview for my projector or finish a few days ago. I know that Eli Becker did a great job of being able to evaluate that Arizona roster with me. They should be unaffected for the 2020-2021 season. If there would be any sanctions, any penalties, what have you, I have to anticipate that this would be a little bit more down the road, because we've seen schools like Kansas and what have you get their notice of allegations and they're still fighting them. So you can't think that this is going to be anything immediate, but something that is a little bit more immediate, the fact that Marshall is going to be hosting a two-game multi-team event, with the other schools being in this event, Coppin State and Tennessee State. You're not seeing too many three-team multi-team events, but with that said, that is exactly what we are now seeing at the forefront right now, as we've got more and more craziness when it comes to scheduling for this upcoming college basketball season. And this college basketball offseason, I've seen more guys become eligible immediately than ever before, and two guys that wound up transferring to Siena are going to be a part of that, as Harrison Curry, who's transferring in from Detroit, along Jackson Stormo, who is coming over from Pepperdine. Both of these guys are going to be eligible immediately. That'll give the Saints some good size, and the Saints are a team that in my projector or finish for the Metro Atlantic a few weeks ago, I projected at number one, and certainly this is not going to make me change my mind, as with Harrison Curry, last play during the 2018-19 season was able to give the Detroit Titans right around 8 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. Certainly not a guy that's going to be too much of a stretch guy, but he should be able to do some good things down low up there in the Metro Atlantic. And then for Stormo, 6'8", 250-pound big man that hails from Santa Barbara, California. While he was with Pepperdine, just didn't see a lot of time in two seasons. He wound up averaging right around a rebound per game, less than a point per game in his two seasons, so he was very sparingly used. That should be able to give this team a little bit more size. Speaking of giving a team a little bit more size, Riley Abercrombie, who is transferring from Boise State over to Rice, he is going to be eligible immediately. As a freshman, he wound up playing 17 games for Boise State. He wound up shooting 28% from three-point range, so he's a little bit of a stretch big man who actually hails from the country of Australia. He was only able to give the team about 1.5 per game. He just was never really able to see consistent minutes, except for one game against Utah State, in which he saw 17 minutes. I think that a case in which you had a combination of foul trouble and injury for the Broncos in that game, so it's going to be very interesting to see how he gels there, and that's part of what I'm trying to do here on Hoopa with Hoops, give you guys a little bit of an update as to the news and notes of college basketball on a daily basis. And as you guys know, my projected or finish for every single conference is rolling on as well. We're down to four conferences. I've held off on the American Athletic Conference just with what is all going on with our good buddy Greg Marshall over there at Wichita State and those allegations. And then we also have the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC. And for all that and so much more, you're able to subscribe to this podcast, Hoopin' with Hoops, wherever you get your podcasts. That'd be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you ever have a question for the podcast, one of two ways to be able to fire that in. My Twitter timeline, at JRScordy1. If you send these via direct message, well, the letter Z and Mimi does not matter. Or you could send in whatever you'd like to Apple Podcasts. Rate this podcast 5 stars because you help out the exposure. And then from there, you're able to lend a segment idea, which I would love a couple of those, just because we are getting a little bit bare with the news and notes on the weekend, along with questions when it comes to sports betting, college basketball, what have you. More than happy to answer all those. And a man that always answers your questions without you even asking them, because he is a wealth of information. That would be Jim Root of the Three Man Weave. So big thanks to him joining me in the second segment. A big thanks to Book It Sports for now being a fine sponsor of this podcast. And a big thanks to you guys for listening. Hopefully you're all safe, healthy, and doing well. I'll talk to you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.